Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said in Psalm 41, "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the way worse for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." Remember that this psalm was originally written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by King David. And that King David wrote these words prophetically of what Jesus would pray during his passion. And tonight we heard the fulfillment of what Jesus would pray as part of his passion. We heard this passage fulfilled in the passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ as we heard it drawn from those four Gospels. Even after they nailed Jesus to the cross, our Lord's enemies could not keep their mouths shut. They could not help but murmur amongst themselves, or as Jesus said in our psalm, whisper, and even shout against the Christ, the Lord's anointed. They argued against Pontius Pilate, the very one who just gave that into their demands when they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." They told him, "Your sign is wrong. He is not Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Instead, change it so that it says he says that he's the King of the Jews. Because he claimed it, but he isn't." People who stood by were watching and deriding our Lord Jesus. They were wagging their heads and saying, "Who, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross." The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people, the church leaders, the very ones who wanted to see this happen, but you'd think they would take a higher road, one of greater dignity, one that would be fitting for their office at which they hold. But they also say, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let him come down now from the cross. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him." Soldiers joined in the mockery as well, as they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And even the thieves who are being crucified, who are dying themselves, revile Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." They all thought they got what they wanted. When Jesus declared, "It is finished, and into your hands I commend my spirit," and breathed his last. For they wanted him dead. Despite the victory they sought as he breathed his last and gave up his spirit, worry was clearly welling up in them. The centurion noted that this man truly is the Son of God. He saw some things that were happening that were miraculous at the time of his crucifixion. But yet on the following day, calling Jesus an imposter, the chief priests and the Pharisees go up to Pilate on the day of rest, on the Sabbath day, and they say, "Sir, we remember what that imposter said while he was still alive, that after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore command that the stone closing the entrance of the tomb be made secure so that the disciples won't steal his body and claim that he has now been raised from the dead. We don't want the lies to continue even after his death." Pilate said, "You have a guard of soldiers. You go do it." They who found it ever so scandalous when Jesus would heal people on the Sabbath are now more than happy to secure that stone so that no one would ever be able to move it, and so that no one could take the body of Jesus, so that even if he could rise, he'd remain trapped and he would stay there. They did not want anyone to stage a resurrection or give any hope that Jesus is alive. And should he rise, they want him stuck. Dead means dead, doesn't it? Why the worry then? Why did they feel the need to secure that tomb? Could it be that they recognized that his word had power and that he said he would rise from the dead on the third day? Could it be because Lazarus once was dead and now lives? Could it be because they saw the darkness cover the land over the course of those 3 hours? Could it be because there was that earthquake that occurred when our Lord died, which tore the temple curtain in two? Could it be from the bodies of those who died were now living and walking? Could it be because they knew that they were in fact the imposters and that he truly is the Messiah? There was too much testimony against them and their actions. Yet they were willing, ever so willing, to dig in their heels and say, his blood be on us and on our children. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he called people to be his disciples, he said to them, take up your cross and follow me. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be surprised if you suffer on account of your Christian faith. People may mock you, as our Lord was mocked. People may snicker at you for entering into these doors, leaving your homes Sunday after Sunday. People may try to challenge you, prove you to be wrong. Our modern world is getting increasingly hostile to the Christian faith and Christian values. More and more Americans are getting angry at what Christians truly stand for. We don't see it so much here, but across the country, such persecution is alive and well. While we have the Bill of Rights to prevent the government from interfering with us as we gather for worship, this does not necessarily stop those in society who hate us. And remember the words of Scripture. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If Christ suffered, so shall we. After all, take up your cross and follow me, he says. And it is written, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And remember, my friends, that our Lord's life did not end in defeat. He told the repentant thief on the cross, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. When Jesus descended into hell before his resurrection, he proclaimed his victory, showing that death and the grave cannot contain him, and that Satan is defeated. And then on the third day, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled the tombstone away, which caused a great earthquake. Our Lord Jesus Christ victoriously rose from the dead. Those old enemies of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature have been defeated. The enemies who thought that they could do away with Jesus by killing him and sealing up his body in the grave were proven to be wrong. Yes, a deadly thing was poured out on him, but he rose from where he lay. And he did not just rise in some sort of spiritual fashion, but his very human body rose from the dead. The first comfort in our Lord's resurrection is relief from suffering. He is the victor, and he will bring us to himself in paradise. Despite any crosses that we carry, he certainly carries our suffering and our burdens and those crosses upon himself. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the second comfort in our Lord's resurrection is vindication. Vindication is when the wrongs are made right. It happens when those who suffer losses get their losses returned to them. On Good Friday, our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Jesus spoke of this glorification that would happen. And when he said that, he was not speaking specifically of his resurrection, but of his crucifixion. That he is glorified on the cross, because it is there he bears the sins of the world. It is there he makes the ransom payment that is required for our sins. It is there that he offers himself, his blood, so that we can be cleansed. So what do we make of Easter? Of course, without his resurrection, our faith would be in vain. It would show that our salvation had not been earned. But because he is risen, our salvation is complete. And Jesus is vindicated. This is important to understand. The Good Friday is the glorification of Jesus, and Easter is the vindication of Jesus. By him rising, it shows that the Father accepted the payment that Jesus made on our behalf on Good Friday. And if he is, we so also are vindicated. We look forward to our own resurrection, when our bodies will be whole and complete and without sin. While those who hated Jesus imagined the worst for him, Jesus, of course, is vindicated at his resurrection. All is set right with him. God the Father crowned him with glory and honor. And because of this vindication, we rejoice that this is ours as well. In fact, all those injustices against you by those who hate you and your Christian faith, Jesus will set it all aright. What seems to have power over you, sin, death, and the power of the devil, Jesus will set it all aright. For he lives and he reigns. He will come back for you and grant for you and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is your hope. It is your confidence and your delight. The Lamb of God, who was slain, now lives. and he has earned for you the forgiveness of all of your sins through his death. And he has earned for you life and vindication through his resurrection. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.